Welcome to the Tulsa Music Stream. And now, your host, Scott and Janice Squires. You want the dirt? You've got it.
Hey.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. Welcome to Tulsa Music Stream. I am your host, Scott Squires, and this is Jana. And we'll be joined here shortly with Jizzy Pearl. He's just released a new album, Love Hate. Lead singer of Love Hate, also lead singer of Quiet Riot. He recently was here at the Canes Ballroom with Stephen Piercy, and he played Rocklahoma a couple years ago. But as always, make sure you share this stream
Recording in progress.
Your Facebook page, all your favorite groups, and you know, maybe you have add some friends to it or whatever, tag some friends. Also, we are on Twitter, which is X now, of course, and we're also on podcast platforms like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon, and so many other ones. But also YouTube, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page and hit the little like button and the little bell on there, and we'd appreciate it. We always need new subscribers, just like Jizzy Pearl. He's got an amazing YouTube channel as well.
I'm always looking for a couple of good subscribers.
There you go.
Chime in with some questions, comments for Jizzy. We'll get to those as we can. Let's not keep him waiting any longer. Let's get him on screen. Jizzy Pearl, how are you doing this evening?
Good. Good. What's up?
Man, we're great.
The new album, that's what's up.
Dude, that is a smoking album. Man, 8 tracks of tasty goodness. Let's talk about it, and I'm going to put this on the screen. You guys need to be keeping your eyes open. It is called Punk Rock Fiesta. Release date is March 1st on Kenyon Records. I want you to talk a little bit about the writing and recording process. In particular, we have to discuss Darren Householder, who has brought his next level playing to this album. So tell us about it, man. How did it all come together?
Wow. So you like the Householder, huh?
Love it. I mean, you know, a lot of guys, they'll do tasty riffs, but this guy just, like, he's a, like, shredder. I mean, like Yngwie stuff sometimes.
Well, he's on this record, he was the anti-shredder. Because,
really?
Well, what I'm saying is that a lot of guys that do this kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
It's
they get comfortable with it, and it doesn't require a whole lot of creativity. You just kind of do scales.
Right.
You know what I mean? So Darren kind of, we discussed, well, actually what happened was, I came to him with this music and I said, dude, you know, I got this new record I want to do and you're going to be a punk rock guitar player. And he kind of was taken aback. You know what I mean? Cause he's not a punk rock guitar player. I mean, you associate punk rock guitar player with guys that can't play kind of.
Exactly.
So I had to convince him that he could be that guy, you know what I mean? What I wanted, what I was looking for this record, you know, Punk Rock Fiesta is just sort of a, I mean, it's not really punk rock, but it's to convey an attitude, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
I want
does.
You to put it on your stereo and I want you to play it really loud. It's like a celebration of noise, kind of, you know, when we used to listen to records really loud, when we were younger and weren't worried about tinnitus or
for sure. Well, you captured that attitude, definitely.
So that was kind of the vibe of it. And you know, we got together and recorded the songs, and you know, the end result is kind of this clash of the titans. It's my vocals versus guitars and in the cage. You know what I mean? Kind of fighting it out. And so anyway, that's kind of the vibe.
It has 8 tracks, which kind of brings you back to the old school days, you know.
8 is enough.
Bark at the Moon type, you know. He had 8 tracks, I believe, or at least on one of those albums had 8 tracks. Of course, the title, Punk Rock Fiesta. Tell me a little bit about the choosing of that title and the concept of the album cover and everything.
Well, I guess the concept of the album cover is kind of harkening back to the old Love Hate legacy. with art. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you remember our first record and our second record, Skid, my bass player, he drew those covers. You know, the first one was sort of an accident. It was just sitting on our wall, and Sony Records was giving us these really horrible conceptual ideas for what they thought our record cover should look like. I mean, it was terrible. Anyway, so my drummer had this picture on his wall, that one.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I just kind of cut out letters out of notebook paper and MacGyvered it. And that ended up being our cover, which was really a cool cover in retrospect, because it was us. It was our band. It was us. You know what I mean? Captured in the moment. And so maybe this cartoon cover for my punk rock fiesta was sort of a homage to the old art.
I have to mention, I love what you guys did on Over the Edge, how at the end, all the music fades out and the vocal harmonies are just ringing out. I thought that was a really nice touch on that. When you go in, I say go into the studio, you guys probably do recording, like modern days recording.
You're looking at my studio.
That's the studio. Okay, but I'm assuming, are the guys cutting their parts in totally different locations? They're not hooking
yes.
up with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
My drummer, Dave Moreno, he's not only a performing guy. I mean, he was in Puddle of Mud. He did Bruce Dickinson's last tour. But he's got his own home studio, and so he's done all my records, and it's just easy for us to talk on the phone, and I give him my little demos, and then he, you know, makes them real.
Yeah.
And the same with Darren. Darren records in Los Angeles. I live in Las Vegas. So, we've kind of gotten, COVID has sort of taught us how to do it like that. You know what I mean? 'Cause everyone was sort of locked down. So, we do it on FaceTime, and I'm kind of the eye of Sauron gazing down.
Yeah.
But he did. Yeah. Those guys did great work.
Man, it's really nice.
Yeah. That's my favorite song off the album is Over the Edge for sure.
Yep.
It's kind of a darker song than some of the other ones, kind of a heavier, the metal, I guess, riff. The chorus is cool. I like how you fight against stuff. Like, you're very, like, your catchy phrasing and your catchy choruses, and you're always kind of going against what the song is doing, like the guitar and everything. You kind of put up your own little melody against that, and it always seems to flow cool. It's so different than what I would hear another singer. And you did that on your first album as well. You kind of went against the grain a little bit, and it sounds cool. Mm-hmm. And of course, mm-hmm. what she said that you did at the end, you added the all that you hold, all coming down like a lightning bolt, and it kind of goes
killer.
Over. It's so cool. I mean, it's very catchy.
I'm
listened
good.
To that
I'm,
thing,
I'm,
and it's
I'm
stuck in my
you,
head.
I'm glad you guys dig it, you know, because I'm just starting the process now of talking to people about it. I'm more comfortable in the art department, honestly, you know, than being the seller on commerce, e-commerce guy.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a transition for me to talk about myself and the record and the lyrics and stuff like that. So I started off, I'm going to be starting my process. So I figured I would start with the people I like to talk to, and then I will move on to the people that I have to talk to.
Wow. I hope we're early on the list. Yes. That's great news. Tell us about Kenyon Records. 'Cause I'm not familiar with them. I saw you make a post about them. How did you get hooked up with them, and what is their vision to help you push this album properly?
Interesting. Kenyon Records is a startup label. I mean, and I guess the difference with this label as opposed to some of the other labels, and I want to watch that I don't get into defamation territory here.
Okay.
Some labels don't give a shit. Some labels basically rely on mail order, and they don't really do anything, you know, substantively right. to try and sell your record because yes. you're just kind of in a corral with a bunch of other guys. And,
yep.
and, it's harder to get some attention that way. Whereas with this label, he's really excited and he digs the record and he's got fresh ideas. You know, see, for me, it's a whole new world with the streaming, you know, and the question becomes, how do you sell records in 2025? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I know how to sell records in 1990. I know how to sell records in 1995.
Right.
But we're in a whole new world. So it requires fresh ideas and ingenuity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To try and get people excited to want to listen and to buy it.
So will this be exclusive, I guess, like Spotify stream services, or will you have like hard copies of this new album and
well,
things?
Well, we're doing both. We're doing okay. both. We're doing CDs. We're doing vinyl, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Great.
And obviously we're going to do all the streaming stuff. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens. It's the thing about music when you've been doing it as long as I have is that so much of it is the luck of a good song. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of really great artists out there. I mean, the new LA Guns, those guys put out a record a year. You know what I mean? They're,
yes.
they're still doing it and it's exciting and they haven't lost their edge. I mean, they're still heavy and the guitars are just screaming and stuff like that. And it as you get older, it gets harder and harder to not become Billy Joel.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, you can sit on the couch. Don't become the couch.
Right.
And it gets harder and harder. So I guess with my new record, I really was a conscious effort to kickstart more testosterone into the mix and get people to put this record on and turn it up really loud and get a and harken back to the old days, you know what I mean? Where you were just, you would listen to these records all the time and it was just your background music for life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, you had mentioned LA Guns and this is the vibe that I myself got from the record, from your new album. And it's has a lot of Guns N' Roses.
It sounds like their first record.
Yeah,
yeah,
it, very
it's got,
close to it,
and
it's got
some.
It's got the LA. Yep. It's got the LA Guns era, the GNR era, Sunset Strip. But
yeah.
then you throw in some AC/DC in there, and it's that kind of thickness to you know.
Yeah.
It's very bluesy, mm-hmm. heavy, hard rock. But then you throw in stuff like Can't Be Wrong.
Yeah,
and that to me is like almost kind of the
too
grunge.
Creepy.
Kind
is
of
it
a
too
grunge.
For you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no. I mean, it's you know,
it's
kind
dark.
Of Alice
it's dark.
And Chainsy.
Alice and Chainsy. Yeah.
It's cool. You know, the la la la. You know, all that stuff in there, and very cool. It's like I said, you're very the stuff that you come up with is very they're catchy, but they're I don't know.
They're substantive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a great album. That's basically what we're trying to say with all these words. So I want to really promote this hard tonight. So guys, this is out on March 1st, Punk Rock Fiesta, Kenyon Records. Please watch for that. I've got some things I want to cover with you. We're going to move on and we can certainly go back to that. Let's talk about your upcoming Blackout in the Red Room 35th anniversary tour. You guys are doing this in the UK. It starts in March. And you're doing the entire Blackout record, several Wasted in America cuts, and some of the new songs from Punk Rock Fiesta. And I saw in a recent post where you guys just ran the entire Love Hate set. What was that like for you? And was this the first time in a long time you've revisited some of those tunes?
Yeah. It was hard in 1990, and it's hard in 2025.
I can imagine.
It's hard, but it's it all comes back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The record was a classic record. That's what, I don't know. I guess Rolling Stone out of the top 100 hard rock records And our little record was number 20. And it just blew my mind. Someone sent that to me years ago, and I can't believe it. But it was a great record. Obviously, it launched our career, and I've been doing it ever since. But we're also going to be doing U.S. dates.
That was one of my questions. Great. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be doing, the Whiskey, and we're going to do Vegas, and, you know, I mean, whatever stuff comes up with the 35th anniversary. And when I say 35th anniversary, everybody starts to realize.
Yeah, I know.
Old.
Damn.
But what is bringing that spring in your step, though, to like, you're constantly touring with Quiet Riot as it is. Mm-hmm. And then you finally get a break between January, February. And then suddenly you're like, well, screw this. Let's do this record. Love, Hate. And it's like, you're just constantly working instead of like taking some time off for yourself and your sanity. And you just got to keep going and going.
I bet it's because you're healthy, man. Right.
Well, writing songs is sanity. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing is when you've been doing it as long as I have, and I think I can speak for the Great Whites and the Slaughters and the Warrants, because I mean, they're all friends of mine, and we all play music that's, you know, classic rock. But for me specifically, it's important that I create new music just to feel vibrant about music. You know what I mean? Playing the old music is great, but if you don't play new music periodically, I don't know. It's just, for me, it's a necessary thing. And, you know, regardless of 2025 and the current musical climate, I mean, it really, sometimes you make records for yourself, not for others. You know, you make it to because you need to, as opposed to selling it as merch or whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? It's important. And I think a lot of guys feel the same way, that it's just, then you feel good because you can play the old music, but you have something new to offer as well.
Let me deviate from my standard questions list, because this is kind of a good segue into one thing I did want to ask you about later on. This is a broad question, and the answer is super broad. And so I don't expect you to just give it in a real short, concise answer. But let me pick your brain about the impacts of social media on music, and the starving musician, and the touring musician, and the guy trying to make his living doing this. The fact that everybody in the world has immediate access to endless content. You can, with one click, you can see a little 5-year-old girl in Japan shredding the guitar. Do you think that in any way kills the specialty factor of what some of us older musicians are trying to accomplish by, you know, still staying relevant in the music business? Or does this aid what we're trying to do, in your opinion?
I don't think it aids it. I think that we all, and I include you and everyone else, we all have to adjust to it. You know, social media is a great thing, and networking and stuff, but it's also that slippery slope of people getting stuff easily for free.
Yeah.
And it of course it hurts everybody. I have a legacy, and I have a catalog of records and stuff, but for the young artists, I just don't know how people do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It getting a van and unfamiliarized territory and having to just scrape by. So it's tougher. I mean, people like me complain about Spotify and all that shit, but the bottom line is I have a legacy of music and stuff like that. But for the younger guys, it's probably a lot harder.
Yeah.
You know, to just talk about streams and stuff like that. But streams are kind of meaningless when you got to pay your rent.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely, man.
And just like you said, when you brought up the, you know, this is my recording studio right here, and you guys, you know, email stuff over to some other guy, and the other guy throws down the bass, you know, he's in a different fucking state or country, whatever. But now we're getting into the AI recording, you know, where, you know, you
see,
can
see that to me really is awful.
Me too.
Because I hear it and I just, I don't know. I mean, nobody wants to be replaced.
No. Right.
You know what I mean? Nobody
just
wants.
Like, okay, Jizzy, let's get this, your vocal that you had on, you know, Blackout and Red Room here. You know, you sounded pristine back then. So let's just throw that in here on your new album, you know,
and crap, just, man.
Let's visualize him being 28 again.
Right.
But it's scary. Cause I mean, you wonder how far are they going to take that? And is it going to put everyone out of work? I don't know. I hope not.
I don't dig it. I think that at first it was sort of a novelty.
Yeah.
You know, Paul McCartney singing Right Said Fred songs, you know, it was kind of funny, but it's also got that sinister thing that, like I said, I mean, nobody wants to be replaced. Nobody wants, nobody wants to play the tracks. I mean, I don't think they really want to, you know what I mean? But it's just, it's just become accepted, and it's just weird to me.
You know, we brought up the record label, Kenyon Records. Your last album, Hell California, was under Golden Robot Records. And then your last Jizzy Pearl solo record was Frontiers Records. And I always wondered if Love Hate, if Frontiers would ever pick up a Love Hate album. But it was an actual Jizzy Pearl one. So was there a reason why maybe they, you know, I figured that they would want a Love Hate album out there.
Their music, their roster is a little bit more Jafria-esque than what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's that Euro melodic metal, there's people dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just not really my cup of tea, and it's not what I do good. I'm more into the heavy, the Zeppelin and the AC/DC and stuff like that. So you learn that the hard way.
Let me jump back to the tour. I saw this on your page. This is the Hard Rock Spring Break 2, and you guys are the headliner on Friday night. Talk a little bit about some of the biggest differences you notice as a performer in these festival type settings where the energy level must just be off the map.
Well, speaking specifically of this festival or just festivals in general?
Well, I mean, yeah, if you've done this one before, let's talk about it. I mean,
I've had a couple of Hard Rock Hells in my time. Festivals are fun, you know, they're good. I mean, you just want to play big stages.
Sure.
You know, like, picture, who wouldn't want to play M3, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Would you rather play a tiny club, or would you rather be on that big stage? You know, so.
Now, some of the guys I've asked before, and I'm not kidding, they give me the answer of, it's all the same to me. So I wanted to get it's not, is it?
Of course it isn't.
That's the politically correct answer, I guess.
Well, big stages also have really good catering, also have really, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not only the size of the stage, which is awesome. It's just, it's the production, you know. I've been doing this for a long time. And when we first started, you know, we were playing little clubs and stuff like that. And then we worked our way up to opening up for Dio. And then we opened up for AC/DC and Skid Row. And it just got bigger and bigger and better and better. And, you know, bigger is better.
I mean, that's how I've always felt too.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, you were at Rocklahoma. You guys had a monster set that night at Rocklahoma. A lot of fun. Playing back with Rudy Sarzo, what's that like having Rudy back in the band?
We played Kane's Ballroom recently.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that was with Stephen Piercy.
Right. I saw one of your boys there. playing with Sarzo is great. You know what I mean? He, people love him, and obviously it enhances the whole experience for fans who, you know him and have known him forever and ever and ever. I mean, he was the guy in the videos and he was the guy in Whitesnake. So he's just got this iconic presence, and, you know, people love it. It's always a pleasure to get up on the stage because you see people's eyes light up and stuff like that. Because, I mean, he looks exactly the same.
He does.
As he did back right. in 1982. So it really is, people are pleasantly surprised, you know, that, and it helps. It helps a lot. It helps a lot as far as, you know, playing as much as we play.
Well, one thing I think is really cool is that he's up there playing one of your songs, you know, and you're up there doing Blackout and Red Room with Quiet Riot. What does that mean to you for those guys to, like, because I know you consider yourself a hired gun and you kind of, you know, kind of put yourself in a back seat with that band. And I've, you know, seen lots of the interviews where you can, you know, call yourself the hired gun. But but you're up there and they're up there doing your song. I mean, that's got to be a kind of a cool feeling, like, hey, man, you know, they're giving me the
props,
the okay to do yeah. some of my own tunes. So
yeah, maybe we should do some more.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like something off the new album.
That's right. Maybe 8 songs off the new album.
Now you're thinking.
Well, speaking of Quiet Riot, I pulled these dates off of your website. There's just a handful here. I'm assuming you got art. Well, I shouldn't assume. Let me ask you, will you be adding a lot more dates for the year or a few, or
of
what's
course,
the plan?
Yeah. We work all the time.
Okay.
We work all the time as much as we can, because it's good to be out there working. You know what I mean? It's, you always bitch about, the thing is when you're home, you bitch that you're not working.
Right.
And when you're out there and you're tired, you know what I mean? You get a little salty. So it's just, you can't have it both ways. It's either you gotta be pressing it all the time, or you're just going to sit home. And like I said, you know, super weed and Netflix is.
Let's talk about someone special in your life. You and Christina just celebrated your 10th wedding anniversary. We want to congratulate you guys. Did you get to do anything fun or special to commemorate that?
Yeah. You know, we just the, you know, when I'm home, it's fun to just hang out and be home. Yeah. I mean, the thing is when you work a lot, like I do, You don't want to go to bars when you're home. You know what I mean? You want to hang out at a bar. You want to be home and enjoy being home and being, you know, with each other and stuff. So a lot of what we do is just hanging out and enjoying the fact that music provides us with a good living. And you know, we get all the creature comforts. And that's what makes it awesome for me, is just being able to just, you know, hang out and go to dinner and just lead a quiet life at home. And then when you're out on the road, you know what I mean? You become the David Lee Roth caricature.
Right. And I don't know if you have, I want to spend a chunk of time talking about his YouTube channel. Sure. Did you have anything else you wanted to
get into? Actually, I do. I know. I mean, when you think of Love Hate and you think of Jizzy Pearl, I always think of the Hollywood sign. I always think of you on that Hollywood sign. I always think of L.A., Los Angeles, and recently L.A. was on, you know, it's been on fire. A lot of shit going on. You have probably tons and tons of friends. I'm assuming your phone was blowing up when all this was going down at first and all these homes were going down. Tell me a little, can you reflect a little bit about your thoughts and everything during these LA fires?
Well, the thing about LA, I mean, I grew up there and it was different than it is now. It's gotten a lot more crowded, and it's become a different place than when I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. It was pretty simple. It's just gotten a little more crazy. And I remember certain earthquakes that went down, and I always thought, what am I doing here? You know what I mean? Because certain earthquakes were pretty gnarly, and it's kind of a wake up call. And I was one of the few that started the exodus out of LA to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot of guys that live in Vegas, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, but watching the fires and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty close to Rudy's house.
Mm.
It was a couple of miles from Rudy's house. So yeah, we checked in with each other, and Robbie Crane, my buddy, lives in, he was a little bit farther away, but still, I mean, you never know when those Santa Ana winds start kicking in.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. And the weird part was people were lighting the fires. That's what was crazy, is that they were catching these people just light. I mean, what are you thinking?
Right.
Why would there these arsonists going crazy and stuff like that? That's what freaked me out, is that a lot of these fires were set by people, which is pretty fucked up.
So sad.
It's like, it's almost like they feel like it, you know, if there's a fire and it's spreading, it's almost like it feels like, hey, it's a free pass for me to go in there and do my pyromaniac stuff.
You know, it's just like, evil.
A lot of people lost. It sucked. You know, that's the thing is LA. I mean, fires, earthquakes, floods, mudslides. See, all I have to deal with is the heat in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
We're losing a bunch of money in a slot machine, right?
Well, yeah. if you're a degenerate gambler.
Yeah. I mean, you can't even go to a gas station without like five slot machines on the way to the bathroom.
Gross.
It's like, I just pulled in for some gas, and here's a $25 machine.
If you're an alcoholic or a gambler or a degenerate or a serial gambler, I should say, it's probably not a good place for you. When I first moved here years and years ago, I didn't realize that the bars never closed. I mean, you could drink all night until dawn. You could literally. And so it took me some discipline to pull back from the dark side of the force. And you learn pretty quick that you could get in a lot of trouble out of here.
I have a comment on YouTube before we get into Tordera City says, "What about Jizzy's books? Are they still available?"
They will be. I'm reestablishing a website with the CD sales and the shirts and the books and stuff like that. So the record's coming out March 1st, and we just got the site up, and we're going to be selling all that stuff. So yeah, to answer your question, in a couple of weeks, it'll all be good to go.
Okay. Cool. Excellent. Let me read a few more comments, and then we're going to get to the YouTube channel, 'cause I'm so excited to talk about it. Gilligan, our friend, says, "Tell Jizzy hello." Tordera City also says, "Keep rolling, Jizzy. Great old school hard rock voice, man." Let's see. Leslie Allred, she's one of our friends. She caught you guys at the Canes recently, had a great time. So I am just dying to talk about your YouTube channel. Congratulations on going over 6,000 subscribers. Anyone who discovers this channel is going to be entertained. But for those of us who've tried to make it in this crazy music industry, it is next level laugh out loud entertainment, because what you share is so relatable and so chock full of truth. I have to know, when you do these videos, have you somewhat scripted what you're going to say, or is a lot of it just off the cuff improvisation?
Well, I write it.
Okay.
I write it, and then I sort of perform it. You know what I mean? It isn't all ad libs. I mean, I'm not that talented.
And you do it in your car. You do it a lot in your car.
I do it because I don't want to freak people out. because I just love getting all animated and stuff, and I don't want them to call the cops on me or something. The cool thing about the YouTube channel is it started out just for a place for me to put my solo record stuff. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I was sort of having this war with Spotify, and I thought, well, I'll just put up all my music on this YouTube channel. And it has sort of evolved into kind of like what I do with my books, you know, short stories. I get an idea in my head about a story or talk about something, and then I'm able to sort of tell a story. And once I got comfortable looking into that little dot there, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's a weird thing to have to learn to be able to become natural, you know, and be okay with that. So once I did that and I started to, I don't know, make these episodes and stuff, it has become a thing that I enjoy doing. You know, I enjoy doing it because you get to write something and it becomes, and then you just put it up and it becomes something, and it exists. You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
I guess people don't read as much as they used to. So it's kind of, I'm kind of becoming modern, you know, with the medium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I said, I mean, I have these, there's always this line I dare not cross with the shit talking, because there's a lot of shit talking on it, but I don't want to become what I see in other people. I don't want to mock my fellow musicians and stuff. I don't want to, because we're all doing it and we're all still doing it. And some people do it better than others. And some people maybe don't take care of themselves as much as they should. But the thing is it's a brotherhood and it's a community. And I see Piercy and I see Mark Slaughter and I see all these guys. I see Tracy Guns and all these guys. And I've known them for years. You know what I mean? I've known the Skid Row guys for 35 years. I know it is a small community and we should all support each other, you know, with the music, because it gets harder and harder. You know, fans are getting older. Musicians are getting older. And it's important that we all sort of keep waving the torch and the flag of rock. You know, it's important.
Very much. And the truth bombs you were dropping in the one you did about Skid Row looking for a new vocalist, and every Tom, Dick, and Harry put it in their tape to try to get the spot. And then you just laid it out on the line, like how grueling the lifestyle is and how a lot of people don't even have a clue what they're in for when they try to sign up for it.
They don't. Yeah. I saw what Eric had to deal with, and he is younger than me, and he had, you know, he was, I don't want to say he was struggling, but he was dealing with it really well. He was a lot more mature dealing with it than when I was 30 years old. I was not as disciplined, mm-hmm. shall we say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was a lot of booze and there was a lot of Hammer of the Gods that had to be done. I had to fulfill all those things that when I grew up with Led Zeppelin, you know what I mean? I had to fulfill all those things. It was a different time as well, pre-internet. So you could get away with a lot more stuff that you couldn't now.
For sure.
But he really had, he had a good head on his shoulders as far as having to, you know, assume that role. And I just think that a lot of people don't realize how hard it is and the responsibility and the expectations of what the fans require and stuff like that. You know, you can't fuck up. You can't have a bad gig because it's on YouTube and people will just crucify you. You know, you have to, which is how I deal with the Quiet Riot thing. You know, I take it seriously because you have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, people talk shit. It doesn't matter. If Freddie Mercury were alive, they'd say he sucked. You know what I mean? It's just people talk shit. That's just the way it is. But I'm just speaking, if I'm watching a video of myself and I know that I feel good about it, then that's all that matters.
Absolutely.
You brought up Stephen Piercy a couple times, and they recently announced that him and Warren are going out and playing, I guess, Piercy DeMartini, which is kind of cool. It's not Rat, but it's them two.
I'm excited about it. Because I was a big DeMartini fan when I was in Rat with two T's. That to me was one of the big coolest things I was on tour with those guys all the time, months and months and on a bus. And it was really, really awesome being on stage with someone of that magnitude of skill. It was really an awesome thing. And Warren's great. And so I'm excited that these guys are going to go out and do gigs. It's really cool.
Let me go back real quick. One of your videos you did that I really, really enjoyed was the one where you talked about being married to a musician. In a way, it's kind of it's almost like therapy for people who are married to musicians, or a warning label for those who are maybe contemplating going down that road. But in that video, you talk about just what a difference sobriety has made in your life. I'm not exactly sure how many years you've been sober. I'm curious, because he's coming up on 4 years sober. When you first got into sobriety, was it a struggle to adjust to the lack of chaos that being intoxicated on a regular basis brings?
Intoxicated on a regular basis. That's funny. I guess that's what I was.
I think most were.
A lot of guys will tell you that when they drink on stage, it's part of the ritual. You know what I mean? It loosens you up. You want to be on the edge and it makes you have a better time and stuff like that. So it's just a transition.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, some guys find it harder to not drink. I just stopped. You know, I mean, I stopped getting high. I stopped doing coke a million years ago. You know what I mean? I don't have that addictive personality. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That other people have and makes it a struggle. I guess I've been sober 7 or 8 years or something like that. And it's just better. It makes you sing better. You can sing better. You perform better. Obviously it's better for your marriage, because she doesn't have to, deal with the trust issues and stuff. So and plus as you get older, you got to think about this kind of stuff. You don't want to, you want to turn into some sort of, caricature of yourself. You know what I mean?
A good night's rest is pretty good too. You know,
it's pretty awesome.
Missed out on a lot of those, trying to make up for all the ones I missed.
Well,
it
would be harder the way that we travel and QR, it would be a lot harder because you don't really get that much sleep. So yeah, if you're just drinking and then you feel like shit the next day. I don't miss the hangovers and I don't miss that for sure.
Now you have a different touring band than actual the guys that played on the record. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Stevie Pierce, the guitar player. Is that right?
Yeah. I always wanted because I play the UK, I try to play every year, and I always wanted a UK band. I always thought that it would be a cool thing to do the Chuck Berry and be able to just go over there by yourself and have guys that are English, you know what I mean? And it just it's a really cool thing, and traveling together and joking around and they grew up with the music too, you know what I mean? So it's good for them. It's good for me. And I really like it.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Neat. That's very cool. Well, the album is phenomenal.
Yes.
There's 8 tracks. Time to take your pill. It's a great one. Can't
what's
be wrong.
Just curious, what's your favorite Over the Edge is your favorite?
That's my favorite. I like your first single, You're Gonna Burn, which is the first track, I believe. Eye for an Eye, it's very upbeat.
Eye for an Eye, I'll just tell you a quick story. Eye for an Eye, if you listen to the lyrics, it's sort of a compressed Reader's Digest version of my old band, Love Hate.
Is that
if
right?
If you listen to the lyrics, it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek history. It's done with sarcasm and love and this and that, but it's also, you know what I mean? The first line of the song is, I thought we were going to be rich for the rest of our lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm able to look back on the Love Hate experience way back in the Sony days and look back on it and not feel like I got screwed. You know what I mean? Some people look back on their past when they were on the major label and they go, man, you know, I should have sold Marines Records. Oh man, we got screwed by our label. I don't feel like that at all. I feel like it was an awesome life experience. And here I am, you know, 35 years later, still, you know, doing it. So that, if you listen to the lyrics in that song, it's pretty amusing.
Yeah, I think it's, the whole thing is great. You brought up Skid. Do any of the original guys from the first couple albums ever, you know, reach out to you when you're working on some of these later Love Hate albums? And do they ever
type? Joey, the drummer, him and I still talk all the time. And actually, we just talked the other day because he knows I have this record. And he told me, he goes, you tell everybody that I loved Love Hate. And I really, he appreciates, because he's got a good job too. I mean, he makes a lot of money. Hmm. And so he's able to look back on the past and really appreciate it the way I do. You know what I mean? Think of all the amazing, I mean, opening up for AC/DC and stadiums and arenas and Skid Row and just having such awesome times hanging out with Dio and drinking Guinness with Dio. And just awesome life experience, you know what I mean? So he wanted me to remember to tell people that he looks back on that and appreciates it too. But the other guys, Skid lives in the Philippines, so I saw him a couple of months ago. He came out to the States with his wife, and I talked to him, just kind of, he came to a gig, a QR gig, and I talked to him for a little while, and then he had to go. And you know what I mean, we've kind of lost touch with some of the other guys as much. You know, it's kind of like the old gang from high school you lose touch with over the years. You know, you're not, you know what I mean? You don't really have as much in common because so much time has gone by.
Sure, that happens. Let me jump back to the fan chat real quick. If anything, Jizzy, you've picked up another subscriber tonight by doing this interview, so it's worth your time.
Damn straight.
J Pearl TV.
That's right. And I do have, there's another question on here, same person as before, to Terdera City on YouTube. They say, there are a few tracks going around the web, old Adler's Appetite tracks, one ballad song with Slash on guitars. What happened? They were released... were they released in CD format? Do you know anything about that?
That we did an EP years ago, but Slash isn't on it. That's okay. Carrie Kelly on that.
Okay. All right.
Pretty Boy Carrie, Floyd. Right.
Carrie and Robbie Crane and obviously Steven. Yeah, that was 20 years ago. Something like that. Crazy.
Larry Young says, keeping it alive in 25, LOL, much love and respect. Matt and Stacey Terry say, I saw Love Hate open for Dio at the Brady, great show. So you do have some love going on in here. Let's put this up one more time. And Jizzy, tell me, where should people go when they want to order this album on March 1st, where's the best place to go?
Well, it's going to be on all the platforms, and I have a website I'm putting up. I guess it's jizzypearlslovehate.com.
Okay.
The Kenyon Records guy, he's the Svengali behind the scenes. He's the man behind the curtain doing all this stuff. Because like I said, I'm in the art department, and I'm just, when I get this record finished, it's up to the record company, or I guess traditionally it's up to the record company to do what they do best. So we're going to have it on JizzyPearlsLoveHate.com, and there's going to be a major push. I guess they're releasing the single today. Is what, the fourth?
The sixth.
Sixth. Mm-hmm. That shows you where I am.
That's all right.
It's coming out next week. I don't know when this is coming out, but I'm saying the single will be out next week, and then we're going to do the big push and all the magazines and the podcasts and stuff like that. So there will be information available to people. But if they want to go on J Pearl TV, I also do videos, and I'm going to be talking it up as well and pimping it. Okay. So yeah, everyone should subscribe to my channel. It's important for the love of rock to be able to listen to me spread my propaganda to the world.
I can't get enough of it. Just so you know, I'm one of those 6,000 people. So it's fantastic. Jizzy, you got anything else for him?
He's very crafty. You know, you brought up, aging guys, you know, wanting to get to sleep early. There's so many farewell tours and guys of our genre.
I've had three farewell tours.
Have you?
Can't say goodbye. That should be the name of the farewell tour.
Back.
Right. That's what, just do every tour. Every tour is can't say goodbye tour.
It's like sometimes it's a cardinal sin to ask these guys, you know, have you thought about, you know, the time that you're going to walk away from this and this and that?
You know what? I look to people like Mickey Thomas, the Starship, who still sings. I don't understand. He's done some sort of deal with Satan, because he sounds as good as he did way back when, and he's in his 70s. So I always look to guys like that. Sammy Hagar is still doing it. He's in his 70s. Brian Johnson, bless his heart, is still up there. I mean, he's not the Brian Johnson, you know, from 1980, but he's still up there doing it.
Yeah.
And I love and appreciate guys like Elton John and all these guys, because they get Mick Jagger sounds amazing.
Well, you know, so do you, man.
And he's almost 80.
You haven't lost a step either. And again, I think a lot of it's that you take good care of your body and you're doing all the things you should do, and it pays off. So,
and I want to tell everybody who haven't had a chance to hear the new Love Hate album. It's right up there with Blackout. Red Room, it sounds very crafty. Hooks, it's got a lot of riffs,
a lot of energy,
and very creative stuff. I mean, I just love your lyrics and how you blend with all that heavy rock and roll. It's just so cool.
Yep.
So just keep it up, man.
You know, somebody came up to me. Yeah, okay. My wife is giving me cue cards. Tell them about the video.
There you go. Is there a video?
Go ahead.
Is that the new single video?
A video is being done for the first single. Nice. It's one of those animated cartoon videos.
Cool.
And the guy that's doing it it's really pretty cool. I'm not going to tell the story, but it's pretty cool. And our recently deceased dog is in it. It has a cameo.
I meant to ask about him.
Oh, yeah. That was, you know what, but though you saw the video. I did a video about it.
I did.
My dog had cancer and we had to put it down. And it was just, I thought to myself, you know, if I don't write about it, I'm going to lose the emotion of it. And so I did, I wrote it and I did that video, and the video was basically a day or two after she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And even now when I watch it, it's just hard to watch, but it's so real. And so many people have written to me and commented to me about the same thing. You know, it really touched a nerve, because everybody is dealing with their animals that are part of their family that they have to deal with. And I did it at home, you know what I mean? Which was the right thing to do.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. We've got three cats that are like children to us, and we had a fourth one and we lost him. So when I watched that video, it brought all those memories back of that day when we had to let him go. And man, your content is just so good because in one way or another, it's so relatable. Like I said, anybody's going to enjoy it.
It's educational rock and roll.
What is it, dude?
You know what it is? It's real. That's the thing. And some people want the stereotype, what they think in their head, what musicians are, you know what I mean? The rock star movie or what they visualize from the magazines and the videos, you know, that we all live our lives like the girls video or something like that. I mean, but I mean, in the past, there was a lot of that debauchery. I mean, for sure, yeah. You know, for sure there was full Caligula stuff going on. But what my videos and what my channel, it's just an extension of me and me trying to tell people what being a musician is really like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's good and bad. It's awesome, but it's also scary. And it's also, you know, it just becomes kind of a travelogue of what it really is. And like the artist singing and stuff like that, where I kind of tell people how to sing or maybe, you know, offer some advice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because young singers and young people going out there are musicians and stuff like that. If you don't take care of yourself, you're going to fuck it all up.
Yep.
And it's not fun when you lose your voice and all the other guys in the band are looking at you, you know, thinking you're an asshole because right. you know, you stayed up all night the night before. And it's just real.
Yeah.
It's just real. It's there's shit talking, but there's also, you know, a line you dare not cross.
Right. Well, please.
Is it safe to say that your YouTube channel is now giving you sort of what your books, doing your books gave you a time to reflect and tell stories and a window to tell your stories.
Yeah.
Is it sort of like kind of like what's kind of, you know, is the new, your new book is basically your new YouTube TV?
I mean, yeah, basically it's writing books. Writing a book is hard. Writing a book requires months and months of compilation of stories and stuff like that. And it's hard. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Then you come to the conclusion that people don't read books as much as they used to. I mean, I still do. My wife does. We love to read. But most people, I don't know, don't have the time or just don't have the interest in it. So for me, the channel is also a way to continue what I like to do in 2025. And sure, you know, I guess it's like doing the same thing I did, you know, years ago.
Cool.
Well, Jizzy, we want to wish you all the best with the new album, the Love Hate Tour. We're definitely going to be watching for those US dates. That's exciting. And all things Quiet Riot.
Well, QR is coming to Oklahoma for sure.
Oh, yes.
For sure. I saw, I think we're opening for Vince Neil or something. It's some Enormo Dome near you.
Is it a casino?
I probably one of the indigenous.
You can go straight to it to a bed after, you know, a casino.
Let's try to hook up around that time frame. Maybe we can get you back on real quick, promote the show, and catch up with you.
Yeah. You'd have to look at the dates are getting obviously done as we speak, but
okay.
I do remember seeing an Oklahoma date. And so, yeah, I mean, I always, you know, the Midwest is the best.
Absolutely.
For the rock.
We think
and,
so too.
Yeah, we'll definitely revisit.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you being
Sounds
on
good.
With us tonight. Send your wife all our best and we'll catch up with you soon.
Peace.
Congratulations
Thanks,
on the new record.
Yep.
Thank you guys. Thanks for keeping the torch burning.
Always, man.
Right
Take
on.
Care, bud. We love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right.
See ya. Bye-bye. Awesome.
Awesome.
Very cool.
That was
dude.
Fun.
Very cool.
Thank you, Ryan. And thank you, Elizabeth Talcott, for sending us 1,000 stars.
Super sweet. Thank you.
Yeah. Uh-oh, we got the little thing there.
What little thing?
This little guy. Boom.
There you go. I know. Oh. I'm a little rusty. We were laughing before we came on. It has been, I wasn't going to say this to Jizzy, but it has been 4 months since we've been on the air.
Yeah.
And not by choice, but life got busy.
But man, that was fun, though. That was, to sit there
now
and
I remember
bullshit.
Why we do this.
Yeah, a lot
this
of fun.
Is freaking cool. So
definitely got to get out there and reaching out to a few other artists. I know Lizzie Borden's coming to Tulsa.
Nice.
And I've been talking to them. And hopefully I'll get Lizzie Borden on here. So hopefully we'll have that. And reached out to Tame Me Down from Faster Pussycat. And we'll try some other ones. And hopefully we'll get some cool guests on here for some more future episodes of
Definitely.
Tulsa Music Stream.
Before we get out of here, I saw my friend, your friend and mine, Steve Swanson, was in here and said hello earlier. I want to remind you guys, he's a great supporter of Tulsa Music Stream. If you're a band or an artist needing sound in the Tulsa and surrounding area, contact Steve Swanson at Swan Sound. You can call him at 507-319-3605 or email swanst63@gmail.com. For rates and availability, TMS proudly endorses Swan Sound. He is so fun to work with, such a great guy. Like we said at the start of the show, you can always watch Tulsa Music Stream live or on replay on YouTube, Facebook, X. And I don't know about Twitch, Scott. We're going to have to check into that. I think our Twitch connection's a little funky. It didn't look like it connected earlier, but we'll check that out later. If you like audio format, you can check us out on Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. It's so good to see you guys. We've got people. I love it when I see people from YouTube in here.
Yeah,
that,
it's cool.
That means that the multi-stream, what am I trying to say? Multi-platform streaming is working, and that's a good thing. Elizabeth Talcott, yay. Love to see them again. Quiet Riot, let's go, baby. Let's do it. What else you got before we get out of here?
I don't have anything other than it'll be Super Bowl weekend.
Yes.
Who do you guys got out there? Is it the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles? Who do you guys got? Let's see the.
Oh, you want to go back to the chat real
absolutely.
Quick?
Absolutely. I can't figure that out.
Pick a pick a team, guys. Give us. You got Chiefs or Eagles? This is probably where people start dropping off and hang up for the night. We're kind of screwed because we're unfortunately, and I mean unfortunately, we're Dallas Cowboy fans. So our life is pretty miserable right now. We can't root for the Eagles. That's a cardinal sin. We're kind of fatigued with the Chiefs.
Plus they're going to win. Maybe if they win, it'll be three in a row. So.
And that's bad because...
we want to be that team.
Honey, we will never be that team. But, you know, it's okay. I mean, it is what it is. So, and then tell them what we're doing Saturday night, too.
So Saturday night, we'll be at River Spirit Casino. And at the 5 o'clock somewhere bar
with our band
called Rocket Science, and we'll be there from 9 to 1. So come on out if you're in the Tulsa area at somewhere bar 5 o'clock.
Five o'clock somewhere bar. Kind of a different format. We're going to be doing 4 45-minute sets. Let's see if our old bodies can hold up for that.
And thank you guys from YouTube. Caruso, thank you. He said that Facebook wouldn't load, so I am here. Happy late birthday, Scott. Thank you.
Oh, that's nice. Wow. Elizabeth is having a hard time choosing a Super Bowl winner.
Oh, my goodness.
I just hope at some point, like, an eagle flies into the stadium because I'm rooting for the animals.
Yeah.
Not the eagles, but, like, the literal animals. If there's animals in the stadium, that's who I'm rooting for.
Well, it was fantastic episode with Jizzy Pearl from Love Hate Quiet Riot. He's got 3 books out that are just so cool, and he basically say he lives on the road. You know, he lives in Vegas, but he also lives on the road. I mean, the guy is nonstop touring and always doing something. That's why I was curious about him not wanting to really take a break. You know, he finally gets a break, and then it's like dives into his soloists.
I think he's a hardworking guy, and I meant to ask him if another book is in the works. But you know, now that he's got his YouTube channel,
that's why I said, you know, is that the new?
It's like you can create a new little book every day if you want. So That's one good thing about technology. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get the heck out of here. It's been fun, guys. We'll hopefully see you again real soon.
Yeah, we'll let you know. Stay tuned to our page, and we'll put out any kind of news updates on any kind of new shows we get sealed up, and we'll let you know. So thanks for chiming in and tuning in and listening.
We'll try not to make it 4 months next time.
Thank you, guys.
You guys take care. Have a good one. Thanks for watching.